Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. And someday, soon, that truly is going to happen. Amen? You looking forward to that this morning? I sure am. It sends chills up and down my spine when I think about him coming, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, and bringing in his family into that eternal kingdom. But in the meantime, we're left here on this earth, and we're left here with a responsibility that God has given us, and that is to be good stewards of the Word of God, to be good stewards of the seed. And you can turn with me to Luke chapter 8. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 18. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 18. And I am challenged again this morning with the awesome responsibility that we have to protect and care for the Word of God and to share it in its truth and in its entirety. And this morning, I believe again that God has a message for us if it's not hindered by the enemy in how it comes to your ears or how it leaves my mouth. Because there's a lot happens between here and there. So I ask you this morning to tune your ears to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to my mouth, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the word and the seed will be able to get to the place that I believe God wants it to be this morning. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 18 says this, "And now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance." And in verse 4 it says, "And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable." And just to take a moment there, I want you to look and notice how that in verse 1 it says, "Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing glad tidings of the kingdom of God." And then on the heels of that, here he is at this place where there's this multitude gathered around him. And included in that, it says, "And they came to him from every city." So I kind of believe that here there's kind of this here idea that he had went into every city and he had preached to them. He had brought the kingdom of God to them. And that wasn't enough for them. They wanted more. They came to him and they wanted more of what he had to offer for them. And that's when he shares this parable of the sower. In verse 5, "And the sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground and sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' Then his disciples asked him, saying, 'What does this parable mean?' And he said, 'To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Side are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in a time of temptation they fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life, and brings no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and a good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and to whoever does not have, even that what he seems to have will be taken from him. Notice how it says what he seems to have will be taken from him. And I just want you to remember that as we go through this. Another thing I want to point out as we start into this is that in verse 16, he jumps into another little parable. At the end of this parable, the sower, and some commentaries would conclude that this parable ended with verse 15. But it appears here that this here little parable that's added on the end here is relative to what he's speaking about in this here parable of the sower. Because I believe primarily what Jesus is speaking to when he talks about this here parable of the sower is he is speaking to those that are sowing the seed. He is speaking to those of you that are here this morning who have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're out there sowing seed. And he's saying to you this morning that some of your seed is going to fall on good or on stony ground. Some of it's going to fall in the pathway. Some of it's going to fall among thorns. But keep on sowing. Keep on sowing, because it is going to cover an area, and some of it's going to fall on good ground. Some of it's going to fall on bad ground. Story has it, a Georgia farmer, ragged and barefooted, was standing on the steps of his tumbled-down shack. A stranger stopped for a drink of water, and just to pass the time of day, he asked, "How is your cotton coming along?" "Ain't got none," replied the farmer. "Did you plant any?" asked the stranger. "Nope," was the reply, "afraid of boll weevils." "Well," continued the stranger, "how is your corn?" "Didn't plant none," came the answer. "Afraid there wasn't going to be no rain." The visitor persevered. "Well, how are your potatoes?" "Ain't got none. Scared of potato bugs." "Really? What did you plant?" pressed the stranger. "Nothing," was the calm reply. "I just played it safe." You know, we kind of laugh at that, and that farmer was playing it safe, and he wasn't planting any seeds. And I wonder today how many Christians there is that are just playing it safe. Because the seed they might not, that seed that they sow might fall on bad ground. Or it might not be received. Or it might not come across right, or it might not be presented right. But I believe that when the Spirit of God is present in your life and in my life, there is seed there, and you're responsible for that seed, and you're responsible to sow the seed. You see, that farmer in the story here wasn't afraid. He was out there. He wasn't afraid of failure. He was out there sowing seed. It was falling on the pathway. It was falling on the thorns. It was falling on all the different places that were there. But he was sowing seed. And I know that there are many of you here this morning who are out there and you are sowing seed. And I believe the message that God has for you this morning is continue sowing. And I've titled the message this morning, "Keep on sowing. Don't grow weary." I hear in the words that Jesus is saying here that some of it is going to fall on good ground. Out of these four soils that are listed here, only one of them produce fruit. And if you take the percentage, that's 25% of what you're sowing will land on ground that will produce fruit. So 75% of what you're sowing will land on ground that will not produce fruit. But he's saying, keep on sowing. That when a man has lit a lamp, he doesn't put it under a vessel of some kind or under a bed. He's to set it up on a lampstand where it can be seen. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify" who? "You know, to glorify your Father who is in heaven." I'm afraid today that there are too many Christians who will not speak to anyone about their faith because they're afraid. I'm afraid that there are too many Christians today who have chosen to not speak about their faith to anyone because it takes work. It is hard. And there are those today who will not speak of their faith because it may not be received. Or I might offend them. Or it's not socially correct to talk to someone about where they will spend eternity. What is not socially correct about that? You know, wouldn't it be true that if you had the answer and held in your hand the answer to a cure for cancer, you would tell everyone? If you had some concoction that you could drink and you could stay young and healthy and would be able to keep your hair and it would stay black and whatever, you would tell everyone. Why is it that when we hold in our hands the most important message to ever come to this world, the kingdom of God, then we're fearful to share it? Why? And I think some of the time it's because we're afraid. We're afraid of how it will be received. And I believe Jesus is saying to us this morning, don't worry about how it will be received. Don't worry about it. Sow it. Sow it. You see, when the Spirit of God is in you, when the Spirit of God is in you, you bring the Spirit of God to every situation that you come into. And the only reason the Spirit of God doesn't come into that situation, if there's something in your life that is restricting it from happening, is keeping it from happening. I sat on the deck this morning early, and I was looking down across the soybean field, and there was a mother doe down there with two fawns. And these fawns were pretty big already. They're probably yearlings, something like that, maybe not quite. But I had to watch those fawns as they jumped around in the field down there, and they played and they chased each other around. And I was blessed by it. And you know what they were doing? They were simply being deer. There was nothing they weren't doing. They weren't presenting something they were not. They were just out there chasing each other around, having a good time. They were being deer. God is calling you to be Christians. God is calling you to be representation of the kingdom of God. And he's saying, don't go weary. Don't get weary. Keep on sowing. Get the seed out there. And that's done by word of mouth, and it's also done by the way that you live. Get the seed out. You see, this farmer that is represented here, he had confidence in his seed. He had confidence in the seed that he was sowing. He had no question that if he got that seed on good ground, it was going to produce fruit. And the way I understand from reading some commentaries, that land back then was expensive, but seed was cheap. And they did this here no-till, which we're getting back to again. They did no-till. They just scattered the seed on the ground, and a percentage of it would fall on good ground, and it would produce fruit. And they knew that if they get the seed to the right place, it'll produce fruit. And God is calling you and I to be those farmers today who are out there spreading the seed, getting it on the ground. Getting it on the ground so that it will produce fruit. And we have to, if we are going to be farmers for the kingdom of God, and we're going to sow the seed, we have to have confidence in the seed, right? We have to have confidence in the seed. And I believe in here, herein lies the answer to this parable, is that the seed, you didn't make the seed. You are not the seed. And no matter how much you stand at the end of your field after you have sown the seed, you cannot will the seed to grow. But the seed grows by the power of God in it. I had to think about how my dad, he had some grass seed that he kept. And he protected that grass seed with, you know, he was very protective of that. It was kept in a part of the house, kept in the house even, where it was dry and where it wouldn't get moldy and where it wouldn't get other seeds coming in through the air into that bag of seed that he kept to sow as a cover crop. I think it was like alfalfa or something like that. But anyway, the idea being that we have been entrusted with one of the greatest messages to have ever come to earth. And it's in our care. It's in your care. It's in my care. And we need to protect the seed. If it's going to come out pure, if it's going to come out the way God wants it to be, it needs to be protected. And that happens, my friend, through a vibrant, connected relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that protects the seed. You see, when you are connected to Jesus and you are in fellowship with Him and you are one with Him, then the seed that comes out will reflect Him and will reflect His glory. I know that there are some of you here this morning who are sitting here who have been sowing seed into a neighbor. There are some of you here who have been sowing seed into a family member. There are some of you who have been sowing seed to a co-worker. And it just seems like the seed continues to fall on stony ground. That the seed, that it, as it goes out, it just seems like it's not received. The ground is not ready. And I'm just here to encourage you again this morning. Continue sowing. Keep on sowing. Because there may be a time that the seed will hit ground that is ready to be received. You see, this seed that we have, the seed that we have to sow into this lost and dying world, is a seed that when it produces, when it takes root, when it takes root and it begins to grow, it will produce fruit. What are the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, and faith. And is there anyone that would doubt that we are in a day and a time and a world that needs these things? Then I call again. Keep on sowing. Don't grow weary. Keep on sowing that seed. In verse 5 it says, "And the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on this here pathway, and then it says that it was trampled down, and also the birds of the air devoured it." And Jesus goes on, and later on in this parable, he explains what the meaning of it is. And in verse 12, he says, "Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." And I just want to throw out, I know that this message is going to be primarily addressing the sower, but also the sower needs to protect his heart. The sower also needs to have a heart that is protected. And that when we realize and understand that one of the things that Satan wants more than anything is to take away the seed. When the seed has been sown in your heart and in your mind, Satan is right there wanting to snatch it up and to remove it, because seed that takes root is hard to get rid of. And so what he wants is, when the seed is sown, he wants to be right there to snatch it away. I was able to lead a young man to the Lord, and he left our place, and he was happy and joyous. And I met him a couple days later, and here come to find that when he went home, his mother told him, "You don't want to go off on that deep end." Because what happened was when he went home, he took his rock tapes and all his paraphernalia and took it out and put it on a pile and burned it. And when his mother saw him doing this, she said, "You don't want to go down that path. That's going off the deep end." And he turned his back and walked away from the seed that was sown. Satan is there. He is there to snatch away what doesn't take root. What doesn't take root. Keep on sowing. The seed is the Word of God. How hard is it to sow? How hard is it to sow seed? The simplest of child can sow seed. The sower is not responsible for where the seed falls. And sometimes I think one of the things that keeps us from sowing seed in the place that God wants, that God has placed us, is that we're focused on the ground. We're focused on the condition of the soil. Or we're focused on a particular soil. Or perhaps bringing it to closer to reality is the fact that I have a heart, or I have a leading or a calling to a specific people group. So therefore, you know, when those people aren't around, I really don't need to sow a lot of seed. We have a heart for a specific type of ground, and we fail to sow on the ground that is right around us. And there's nothing wrong with having a calling, and I want to make that really, really clear, but it's incomplete. It's incomplete because as a child of God, you're called to sow seed all the time. All the time. You see, if I'm called to the drug addict, I might miss the abused person. If I'm called to the Muslim, I might miss the Jehovah's Witness that's standing at my door because I'm not called to minister them. Do you hear what I'm saying? I might miss the American because I'm called to minister to Mexicans. We get focused on the ground, and we miss spreading the seed and getting it out there with all the people that are around us. Some fell by the wayside and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured. The birds of the air are simply Satan. He came and snatched up the seed that was laying there on the ground. Keep on sowing. Get the seed out because it is important. It is essential to the kingdom of God. One of the other things I think that hinders us sometimes from being effective sowers is that we complicate the message. And what we do is there's a simple message of repentance. There's a simple message of repentance that Jesus Christ has presented. And what you do in repentance is you turn away from the way you were going, you turn around, and you turn and go the other way. Repentance. And we complicate it. We complicate the message to the point that no one will even try to figure it out. Repentance is easy to do when accompanied by the Spirit of God to turn from and go the other way. If there's any of you here this morning that are struggling with that, it's as simple as laying on the altar the thing that has captured you, the thing that is holding you in bondage, laying it down, turning away from it, and walking in accordance with God's plan. The different seeds represent the different soils. Or the different soils represent the heart. And the seed is the Word of God. And we are called by His grace to be able to display it and sow it in a way that brings honor and glory to Him. I think one of the things that he is sharing here is that he turns to the disciples and said, you are these people. You are the sowers. You are the ones. And he goes on in verse 16. He says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. You know what this call? You know what this is saying? It's saying that you are it. You're the one. You're the one. I'm the one. You're the one that is called to sow this seed and to get it out there. It is so important to God that Paul explains it this way. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, Romans 10, 13 through 15. Has it ever occurred to you that you may be the only opportunity that somebody has? You may be the only opportunity that somebody has to hear of the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Did it ever occur to you that by not sharing, some person may spend an eternity in hell because I was afraid, or because I felt like I couldn't, or because I didn't think the ground was right? Or we felt that something else was just way more important. And how often I've heard that the Word of God was not shared, the Kingdom of God was not shared, because it may have ruined or it may have jeopardized a relationship. So is that not putting relationship paramount to what is most important in life? How many times I've heard that the Word of God was not shared with someone because it may have affected a business deal. It may have affected a business deal. Something more important. Or it's not shared because it is not socially correct. You just don't bring that kind of stuff up. You don't talk about politics and religion. There's just two things you don't talk about in this world. I don't want to do it. I'm not really all that qualified to go and talk to people about Jesus. So I really feel that I should leave this to someone who is more experienced than I am. I understand that. But if you believe and have bought that bill of goods, you're deceived. Because when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you become priests of Almighty God. And you have everything it takes. You have everything it takes within you. You don't have to go to Brownstown Votech to learn how to sow seed. You don't. You have been given what it takes to sow the seed that God has entrusted to you. And some of us have kind of been taught that, well, if you're not ordained or you're not a missionary or you're not somebody else like that, then you really don't have no grounds. You have no ground to work off of. You're just not called to do that because you're not ordained, you're not a missionary, you're not a part of some organization. That's not true. You have been given what it takes to be able to sow the seed. Spreading the seed is easy. The message of Christ is easy. 1 John 1 says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. And have you heard the gospel message? Yes, you have. Which we have seen with our eyes, which we have seen, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. It's what you have touched. It's your experience. Getting out there and sowing the seed is simply talking about your experience with Christ. And if it was the best thing that happened to you, it can be the best thing that can happen to the person that you're talking to. So keep on sowing. Don't grow weary. Keep on sowing. You see, converting people to Christ is not in us. It's not in you. It's not in me. It's in the seed getting to the soil. And the Spirit of God in the seed makes it grow and come to life. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. In Isaiah 55:10-11, God promises that it will, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I send it. Hallelujah. You're not responsible. You are not responsible for what happens when the seed has hit the ground. And sometimes I think one of the things that hinders us is that we start to look at numbers. We start to to say, well, you know, this doesn't seem to be producing anything. But if you think about the odds that 4-1 or 1-4 will receive this. And I know you can take a parable a little bit too far, but let's just look at it from that standpoint that 75% of what you share will not be received. It will fall on ground that is not ready for seed. There was a survey done in 2006 of the people that were interviewed, people who had been formerly in church but had left and hadn't been back for some time. They found this. 62% of formerly church people are open to attending church regularly, but not actively looking. They're open to it, but they're not actively looking. Okay. 58% simply feel it's time to return to church. 41% say that they'd go if a friend or an acquaintance invited them. These are people that were part of church and left it. 35% would return if they knew that people there like them. They would return if they knew people like them. 31% feel God is calling them to attend church. That's kind of it. 25% would resume if their children asked them to go with them. This is from the Christian Post in 2006. When the noted English architect Sir Christopher Wren was directing the building of a famous cathedral, some of the workers were interviewed by a passing journalist, and he asked three workers the same question, "What are you doing?" And here's their response. The first said, "I'm cutting stone for 10 shillings a day." The second replied, "I'm putting in 10 hours of my life every day on this job." The third replied, "I am personally helping Sir Christopher Wren to construct one of London's greatest cathedrals." What are you doing this morning? What are you doing this morning? Are you simply putting in time? Are you helping to build one of the most awesome kingdoms that ever existed? We are children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? We are children of royalty. And what we want is we want everyone else to join that family. The King of Kings, there is no royalty. If there were a king, if we were offered the wealth of the Queen of England, we would take up that opportunity without a doubt. But we are being offered the wealth of the kingdom of God, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is the message that we have in the seeds that have been given to us to sow to this world. This lost and dying world needs hope. And when those seeds are sown and when they spring up and they produce life, they will produce the fruits of Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness. All of these things will come out of it. Why would we hold on to that seed and let it rot in our sack? God has called us to keep on sowing. Don't get weary. Put your lamp on that lampstand so that all that come in might be able to see it. So it's not just about speaking the word. It's about also presenting something that when people see it, they want it. So you're putting this light, this lamp that has been lit, on a lampstand so that it shines out, that all can see it. You see, it's more than just speaking the word. It also includes living a life that is attractive. Living a life that the lost people will want to see, will want to be a part of. They will want to know why it is that you are able to go through trying, testing times and come out with a smile on your face. And not lose faith, not lose hope. See, you're sowing seeds when you're able to live a life that reflects the kingdom of God in you. In verse 16, a lamp is burning, a lamp is lit when you're a child of God. What are the things that hinder that lamp? What are the things that hinder that lamp? In verse 14, it says, "Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity." Cares of this world. And I think we can all identify there's probably some places in our life that we have yielded more to that than what we would like to. But the cares of this world put the lamp out. The riches of this world, they put the lamp out. The pleasures of this world, they put the lamp out. And no one is able to see the light that God wants you to be showing. And one of the other things I think that we lose track, and I was going to go down and develop more of this, but I am out of time. And one of the other things that I think is that keeps us from sowing and keeping on sowing is that we focus on numbers. We focus on numbers. We focus on results. We are so result-oriented people. And if we fail to have results, we stop doing whatever it is we're doing. That's common sense in this world. But in the kingdom of God, he's saying, continue sowing seed. Don't quit. Don't stop. Keep sowing seeds, even if you're not seeing the results that you think you should see. Some falls by the wayside. Some falls on stony ground. Some falls among thorns. But keep on sowing. And it's important to protect that seed. And I want to leave you with this morning, that the way that we do that is that we stay connected with Jesus Christ, because he is the protector of the seed. He is the life that is in the seed. He is the one. And it says in verse 18, to finish, it says, "Therefore take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away." Even what he seems to have will be taken away. And there'll be nothing left. So God has entrusted you with the seeds to the kingdom of to his kingdom. Let's be faithful and let's sow them liberally, and some of it will fall on good ground. Lord, I thank you this morning for your word. I pray that you continue to give us grace and hope and light. And Lord, that we would be able to continue to be good stewards of the seed that you have entrusted us with. And I pray, Lord, that we also at the same time would be able to protect the soil, that it would be such that when the seed is sown and when your word is shared, that we would have soil that is ready to receive the word. And Lord, I thank you that today we have opportunity through your written word to be encouraged and to know that some will fall on bad ground, the seed that we sow. And Lord, I pray that this would not discourage us. I pray for hope. I pray for confidence in the seed. And I pray, Lord, that the seed that is sown would reward benefits for your kingdom. In Jesus' name.